The New York Yankees are moving on to the American League Championship Series. We'll recap the ALDS, a quick series at that, and we'll look ahead to the upcoming series, and we'll take a look at an interesting Yankee who was injured who might just be ready to help this team win down the stretch. All this and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Live from the Vivid Seats studio in Garfield, New Jersey, this is another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. The New York Yankees are moving on to the American League Championship Series. That's a beautiful thing to say. They just come off a three-game sweep against the Minnesota Twins. It is a great time to be a Yankees fan. It's a great time in the Bronx, but there's still work left to be done. Eight more wins to capture that 28th World Series title. On today's show, we're going to take a look back at the ALDS series. We'll break down each of the three games for you, and we'll look ahead to the American League Championship Series. Are the Yankees getting reinforcements? Is there another player who has been injured for the most part during the season that's ready to come back and help this team? And is he really an option down the stretch? We're going to look at all this and more on this episode. We thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to our show. As we always say, life gets hectic. Everything is going crazy, but there's always time for Yankees baseball. It was exciting watching the Yankees clinch the ALDS series against the Twins. It was exciting to see these guys come together as a unit and really, really just have fun with it. This team is a special team to watch, and it's been all year. We talk about the replace for 28, and it just seems like every single day there's another guy that steps up and helps this team win. So we're going to look more into this as the show goes on today. And again, we thank you for tuning in. And let's keep it going. Hopefully, we have a lot more Yankees baseball to talk about over the next couple of weeks. As always, you want to join in on our conversation, hit us up on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account at Nick_Delahanty. During the stretch run, you're going to see that I tweet a lot more on my personal account than I do on the regular account for the show. Hit us up on there. Send us your thoughts. Your thoughts can be used on our show. Again, find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We love to have the interactions. We hope that you join in on our conversation. Again, we're powered by Overtime Media. Our show can be found on all podcasting platforms. You go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. We can't stress it enough. All the reviews are important. Help us out. Go to Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Breaker. Our show is available. We hope that you share the link with some of your friends. And definitely, definitely keep listening in. Like we said earlier, it's an exciting time for Yankee fans. It's an exciting time to talk Yankees baseball. Definitely take advantage of it. Join in on our conversation. How are you feeling, Yankee fans? Before we get into everything, how are you feeling? Let us know. Send us a message on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. We want to know how you're feeling going into the ALCS. Are you nervous? Excited? Anxious? I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, when you sit back and you look at everything in a whole, what the Yankees did against the Twins, and we're going to break it down more for you, it's exciting. It's an amazing thing. But there's still a lot more work to be done. This team is not finished. And I think the hardest part is we all want this team to win so badly. Number one, we're due for a World Series title. That's for sure. But also, I think everybody just fell in love with this team. And I know for myself, this was one of the most enjoyable seasons that I've ever watched. And that includes 98. That includes 99. I was young at the time, but those teams are the ones that really taught me how to love baseball and how to love the game. I can recall games from that year, those 2 years, even 2000. The heartbreak from 2001. I remember exactly where I was for that. Luis Gonzalez's single, still one of the heartbreaking moments of my life. You know, it just teaches you to love the game and love watching it. And 162 games during the regular season is a grind. But it didn't feel like 162 games with this team. Yes, you had the injury bug. You had all the issues in terms of starting pitching. But this team still battled and still fought and gave you a reason to love them on a daily basis. And that was special. It was something that really became a special feeling not only in their clubhouse, but around the Bronx and around the nation, because Yankee fans like us fell in love with this group. And to see them come out World Series champions would just be the icing on the cake. So heading into Friday and the rest of the playoff run, you just hope that they continue to play well and that the chips fall where they may, because this was a special team and it would be really unfortunate if they fell short of that ultimate goal, which is the World Series title. But for now, let's enjoy this, let's have some fun, and let's get rowdy in the Bronx. You could feel the energy in the Bronx in the first two games of the series. It was there, and I'm sure in the ALCS, the Yankee faithful is going to bring it and definitely help this team to victory. Before we get into the action, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Again, we're going to break down the ALDS and more. But before we get to that, we have a special promo for you. Have you been thinking about going to Yankee Stadium? Maybe in the ALCS, or maybe even thinking about 2020? If so, take advantage of this special Pinstripe Talk Vivid Seats mobile promo. Use the promo code OVERTIME in the Vivid Seats mobile app, and you could save up to $100 on all ticket purchases. This is for first-time customers only. So, you want to go to Yankee Stadium, you want to take the family, you want to take a friend, maybe a significant other, use our promo code OVERTIME in the Vivid Seats mobile app and save a deal on your tickets. Great gift. Definitely with the holidays coming up, they'll be here before you know it. You want to take somebody to the game, use this promo code, thank us later. We're helping you get into the stadium for a cheaper deal. We help you take advantage. Once again, that is promo code OVERTIME in the Vivid Seats mobile app, and you can save up to $100 on your ticket purchase. This is for first-time customers only. Take advantage of the opportunity. I wouldn't be telling you this if I didn't think it was a great deal. So make sure you don't make me look like a liar and go on Vivid Seats mobile app today. Remember, promo code OVERTIME. And we're back here on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Let's get into the Minnesota Twins series in the American League Division Series. And let's start with game one, obviously. Yankees set up James Paxton to start for the Bronx Bombers. He's making his first postseason start. Paxton overall didn't look bad. 4 2/3, allowed 3 runs on 5 hits, had 8 strikeouts, limited the walks, only walked 1 Twins batter. Again, he made 2 really big mistakes in the game. He let up a home run to Polanco in the first inning, and then he let up a home run to Cruz in the third. He probably faced 1 batter too many as Polanco got the best of him later on by picking up another hit, but the Yankees' offense was just too good once again. Yankees were down 1-0 after 1, ended up being up 3-2 after 3, win the game 10-4. Some notables, DJ LeMahieu at the top of the order, 3-for-5, 4 RBIs, 2 runs scored. He was just unbelievable. Judge had a pair of runs scored. Gardner with a home run. LeMahieu, like I mentioned, he had 3 hits, one of them being a home run. Edwin Encarnacion, seems like every time this guy hits, he's hitting a rocket off the bat. Stanton had a couple of good at-bats, 3 walks for him. Gleyber is just Gleyber good. A hit for him, a couple of RBIs in the game. He had a really big at-bat, and that one really set the momentum for the Bronx Bombers. And this was the kind of game the Yankees needed. You're on your home turf. You're trying to defend home field, and the guys get the job done. The Yankees turned to that bullpen, and again, other than Canley letting up a run, the rest of the guys were solid. Ottavino only faced 1 batter, but then you look at Canley, Green, Britton, even Jay Happ and Chapman. No runs allowed over their innings of work. Bravo job by the Yankees. A really nice job to get the ball rolling in this series, and it was really a momentum shifter. And remember, coming into this series, the Twins had their losing streak in the playoffs. That had to be in their minds mentally. It mentally gets to you. And this team is a 100-win team. They're a very good team. They hit for a lot of power. But if you limit the power and you limit the offense, then the Yankees have the advantage. The Yankees' bullpen was better. We knew this going in. So you credit the Twins for their season. But at the end of the day, you just felt like the Yankees were the better team. And in game one, they definitely asserted their dominance and took advantage, especially on their home field. It was a big way to start the series, leading into Game 2, where they had Masahiro Tanaka on the mound. Going into Game 2, you really hate to say that the game was decided before the end of the third inning, but it really was. By the end of the third inning, the Yankees were up 8-0. 8-0, and that's not an understatement. That was a really dominant third inning where the Yankees scored 7 runs and really did a nice job of getting a nice lead for Tanaka to work with. Before we get into the actual game, I want to talk about the starting pitcher for the Twins, and that's Randy Dobnak. And a lot of criticism was heard because Yankee fans were chanting Uber at him. In case you don't know the backstory, Dobnak is a Uber driver, has a near-perfect rating on his driving, good for him. But the Yankee fans were chanting Uber, and a lot of people took that criticism saying that it was uncalled for, yada, yada, yada. Well, here's my take. Number one, Dobnak was in the minor leagues before the season started. He only pitched in about 28 innings at the big league level during the year. So, the Twins are putting him in a very difficult spot, pitching in one of the toughest ballparks to pitch in the postseason, against a team who arguably has the best lineup in baseball. Also, Yankee fans are going to use anything they can to get an advantage. And in this case, being an Uber driver isn't the worst thing in the world. Okay? Dobnak even said it. Let them get loud. I like when they get loud. And the Yankee fans did that. So, you know what? Before you criticize Yankee fans for yelling Uber, just know, it could be a lot worse. And you're in the playoffs, so expect the Bronx faithful to get crazy. It's a simple math. Yankee fans love their Yankees. They're going to do anything in their power to help this team win. Chanting Uber shouldn't be that big of a deal. And a lot of people are making a big deal about it. If it was such a big deal, why are the news media people talking about it? Honestly, I didn't know this guy's name until he took the mound. Everybody kept saying, oh, the Uber driver's pitching against the Yankees. He's going to be the one to stop him. Well, he needed a lift out of the ballgame because he was out of the game in the third inning. Yankees go on to score 8 runs within the first 3 innings, like I mentioned. Encarnacion again, a rope to left field in the first. They go up 1-0. Then everything came to fruition in the third inning. Started off with a Stanton sack fly. Then Torres had a single. Didi, the great Didi, hits a grand slam. And that was great. I literally went nuts during that, by the way. I ran around and was screaming, excited, and really amped up. And shout out to the Bronx Pinstripes team, the Yankees website that I do write for. Follow them at Bronx Pinstripes on Twitter. Great Yankee content. They were sitting right in that section where Didi hit the home run. So it was kind of like fate. Great group of people. They got to see a great game. They got to see the Yankees win. But they weren't done scoring. At that, Gardner comes up again, hits a single, and LeMahieu scores, makes it 8-0. Yankees are done scoring at that point, and they go on to win this game 8-2. Now let's go to the pitching, shall we? Tanaka, 5 innings, 1 earned run. Tanaka, postseason Tanaka, was there. Good job by Boone with the day off the next day, limiting Tanaka to 5 innings, through 83 pitches. Did a really nice job. But then he went to the big guns. He went to Canley. He went to Ottavino. Then he realized he can go to Tyler Lyons and Loaisiga at the end of the game, and they could get the job done. Loaisiga struggled a little bit in the ninth, but the Yankees come out with the win. Now you're going into Minnesota up 2-0, and Minnesota's back's against the wall. You have the pressure on them. All of it's on them on their home field. They had all the pressure and the anxiety and the struggle because they had to win that ball game. So the Yankees hit the road, have an off day, get to regroup, get to refresh the bullpen, and still have a chance to sweep and go to Minnesota only for one day. And that's what they did. They didn't want to spend much time in Minnesota. They took care of business right away, and it paid off for them. We head to Minnesota for Game 3. And after Game 1 and 2, it just felt like this Yankees team had a sweep in them. And rightly so, they proved us right. Before we get into the game, I want to just say bad job by Major League Baseball. And by that, I mean 840 starts are atrocious on a weeknight. Do better. You complain that you want to expand the game. You complain that you want fans to be able to watch the games. But at 840 on a school night, what kid is staying up to watch the game? Heck, I was falling asleep. I couldn't stay up, but I did, of course. I was a little cranky in the morning. However, they won, so it made up for it. But a normal fan who just wants to watch the Yankees isn't going to stay up. The diehards will. The regular fans won't. The regular baseball fans won't. You need to do a better job. Time the games better. Make it more accessible for the average fan to watch the game. You want to expand the game? Get more people involved. Get more people watching your games. And shame on MLB TV. I don't care what they say. I pay a lot of money for their services. And I can't watch half the games I want to watch. Always blacked out or issues or I'll never pay for it again. I won't. And I'm sorry, but it's become an issue where I'm paying a lot of money to watch games, and I really can't watch them. 9 out of 10 times, I just want to watch the Yankees or the Mets or the Phillies or even the Angels to watch my St. Joe's guy, Tommy La Stella. But I can never watch the games I want to watch. There's always an issue with the app. And then the app doesn't support certain devices, and it's a mess. So next year, I won't be paying for MLB TV. And Major League Baseball is going to have to realize that a lot of fans are going to go to these bootleg websites to watch games. One of my colleagues at Bronx Pinstripes, Keith McPherson, a really great follow on Twitter. If you follow him, if you type in his name, you'll find him. He said it to baseball too. And he put out some really good tweets about this. He was saying, you want to expand the game, you're asking people to find bootleg systems to watch it. Figure it out. Make it better for baseball fans to watch the games. It's simple. I can't say it enough. But anyway, let's get back into game three, shall we? I went on my rant for the day. Yankees get off to a 1-0 lead. Torres hits a home run, and Glaber's been good, man. It's unbelievable. 22 years old. I kind of posted on Twitter to sign this guy long-term for the entirety of his career because I love watching him play. I think he's a mainstay in this lineup. He might even be the face of the franchise. Him and Aaron Judge. It's unbelievable. He's just that good of a ball player. Then the Yankees tack on a run in the third. They get a single from Gardner. Really nice piece of hitting on a two-strike pitch. And then it really goes quiet till the seventh. Didi adds a single. You're up 3-0. Then Rosario homers for the Twins. It's 3-1. You're starting to get a little antsy here. And top of the ninth, the Yankees add two more runs. And right there, you kind of feel like, okay, we could breathe a little bit. The Maven home run, another Gregorius single, and it's 5-1. Now, let's look at the pitching in this one, shall we? And we looked at it in the other two games, but I want to take a closer look at this one. Luis Severino, bravo to him. He went four innings, and let's face it, he wasn't as sharp as he normally or typically can be. The second inning was a huge inning. He left the bases loaded with no outs, and it looked like, oh boy, here we go. But Severino had his ace mentality and grinded through three tough at-bats to get the Yankees out of the inning, and that was huge. He bent but didn't break throughout the four innings, and that was big for the Yankees. Then they turn to the studs. They go to Canley for two outs. Then they go to Ottavino, who doesn't record an out. I don't know what's up with Ottavino, but he's pitching a one batter here and there. Then you go to Green, who ends up getting the win in that one. He goes an inning and a third. Britton an inning and a third before he leaves due to an injury. A little bit of a concern for him. Hopefully he's okay. And then Chapman, a guy who hasn't been asked to get more than four outs all year. He comes in and gets five outs. And after the game, the reporters ask, you know, you haven't been asked to get five outs all year. How do you feel? And he said, I haven't really pitched in September, but I'm ready to rock and roll. And that's what you want to see. Yankees go on and they sweep and they head home. It's a great, great feeling and a great series because, let's face it, they had their way with the Twins. But this Twins team is a good team. Rocco Baldelli deserves a lot of credit. He did a lot of good things with this roster. They won 101 games. They won the Central outright. You got to give them credit where credit's due. But in this series, the Yankees were the better team, and they will move on. Exciting times in the Bronx, but we're going to take a quick break. We're going to look ahead toward the upcoming American League Championship Series and discuss a player who might just be on his way back to help this team down the stretch. That and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, and we'll be right back. We're back here on another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Looking ahead to the American League Championship Series, and I'm not even going to get into who the Yankees are going to play. I'm going to save that for our next episode, which will air prior to the start of the series. But what does the sweep mean for the Yankees? And it's simple. It helps them align the pitching the way they want it to be aligned. They have a couple of off days where they can rest and get guys healthy and whatnot. But for the starting pitching, it allows them to mix and match to where they want them to be. Heck, they might say that they want Paxton on the mound game one, Tanaka on the mound game two, Severino on the mound game three. That's all cool. That's fine. But it gives them that option. If you go deep into a series, you might not have that luxury, and you're definitely not going to have that luxury. So winning in three games, that's a good thing. It helps you align your pitching. One thing that is a concern is if the other series goes more than just the four games, they're going to come in. They've been playing. The Yankees have been a little stale. They've had a couple of days off. So that might play a factor, but again, the rest, you'll definitely take it as time goes on. Another thing of concern is Zach Britton. Hopefully he's healthy. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. Time will only tell. We'll get more details as the week goes on. I'm sure the Yankees are cautious with him, but I'm sure that Britton, being a competitor that he is, definitely wants to be on the field. Then on Tuesday, the Yankees get a really interesting injury update from Aaron Hicks. Yes, the same Aaron Hicks who's been out for the majority of the 2019 season and hasn't played since August 4th. That Aaron Hicks told reporters that he's ready to play, and he's ready to come back from his elbow injury. This guy who only played in 59 games all year, yes, 59 games all year, is ready to make a return. Do the Yankees activate him and put him in for the biggest series of their year without having any game experience over the last 2 months? Or do they elect to stay with what's working, that if it's not broke, don't fix it mentality? There's two different scenarios that could play out. Let's just say that the Yankees decide to activate Hicks. It's going to cause a little bit of a logjam in the outfield. Now, you could say that they might elect to just take Tyler Wade off the roster and lose the versatility. Or they might say, you know what, Cameron Maybin's been good, but we have the extra outfielder. We don't necessarily need him. We're going to keep Wade. He has more versatility, and we'll go that route. But the interesting thing happens when you put Hicks in the lineup. Obviously, Hicks is a center fielder. He's your everyday center fielder. But with Edwin Encarnacion hitting the way he is, you figure he's going to pencil in at DH. And you definitely figure that Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are going to be in the lineup. So Brett Gardner becomes the odd man out. And to be honest, Gardner's been really good this year. He's been really good lately. How do you really just bench him here? And I know he'll play because he'll be a defensive replacement late in the game. He'll probably get in a bat or two, and he'll be an impact, and he's good in the clubhouse. But how do you take a gamble on Hicks right now, not knowing what to expect from him? And you can make the case that the Yankees' best bet is to keep it as it is and stick with the roster that's been working. My opinion on it all is keep what's been going well. Keep what's been working. Don't change it now. Yeah, Hicks is a great player, great defensive player, and he's an impact kind of guy when he's healthy. However, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and I don't trust him going into a big series against a team that's going to have good pitching. Whether it's Houston or Tampa, you're going to face good pitching. So, I think that you stick with the status quo, you keep Gardner in center field, you ride him while he's hot, you let Stanton play left field, you use Maven as a defensive replacement, and you roll the dice. Yes, Hicks is ready to play. Yes, he wants to be out there, and I credit him for working so hard to get back. But right now, the timing is not right. The Yankees need to not play around, and you saw it with their lineup the first three games of the playoffs. Nothing changed because it's working. Why fix it? So it's unfortunate for Hicks. The timing's not right, but I would stick to the status quo. And I would keep him on the sideline, at least for now, and then reassess if it does come to the point where you're making a lineup for the World Series run. Other than Hicks, I expect the roster to be basically the same as we saw in the ALDS. Yeah, guys like Tyler Lyons or Loaisiga might be left off, and they might elect to use different arms depending on who they're playing. But for the most part, this roster is going to be the same. Also depends on what happens with Zach Britton. Hopefully he's okay. But there's a lot of interesting things happening, and heading into the American League Championship Series, you know it's going to be interesting, and you know it's going to be a dogfight, and you know that this Yankees team is up for the challenge. They've been up for it all year, so you expect nothing less from the Bronx Bombers moving forward. That's going to wrap up our show for today, and it's always a pleasure talking Yankees baseball, and we love being on the air, and we love the fact that you guys take some time out of your schedules and listen to us, and we thank you, and we can't stress enough how much it means to us. But we hope that you continue to follow us as the stretch run continues. We're hoping to put out more content before the ALCS. Again, follow our social media accounts at Pinstripe Talk ND. Follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. And Facebook, like us by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We'll continue to give you all the updates. Make sure you use those outlets to find those updates. Again, we're powered by Overtime Media. Find our website, look it up. It's really cool looking. I like it. I go on it all the time. I might just be a little conceited, but I love seeing it. Also, find us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox. All our podcasting platforms listed on our social media accounts. Go find those there. And keep interacting with us as the postseason goes along. Your voice can be heard on our show. make sure you let that voice be heard. It's exciting times, Yankee fans. And going in, I just want to say it is always a pleasure. Keep rocking the pinstripes. I am too amped up for this series, and I just keep counting down the days till Friday, and I'm sure that I'm not alone. I am sure that there are a lot of people who cannot wait to see these Bronx Bombers take another step toward championship number 28. Hopefully this is the year. I think it is. I'm positive. I have a lot of faith in this team. And I can't wait to see where this takes us moving forward. That's going to wrap it up. As always, let's go Yankees. Thank you again for tuning in. This has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We'll talk to you soon.